Now we bring on John Perez to join us. Silver is money. That's one of your slogans. John, welcome to the show. It's great to have you on.
Oh, great to be on, Mike. Great to be on. I am just amazed at what we're seeing. You guys are doing a great job of covering this. And you've been on top of this since November, December of 2021. And now it is unfolding before our eyes. It's amazing.
Yeah, now, people who haven't seen some of our previous work together, I just want to summarize it. You've been very pessimistic about the long-term pricing or value of Bitcoin because you've seen a lot of vulnerabilities, and a lot of people were skeptical of what you were saying. You know, they said like you were doom and gloom on this. But the reason I wanted to bring you on tonight is because what you pointed out is exactly what just happened. So can you give us your 50,000-foot view of what just happened and what it means?
Yeah, I mean, well, what's important to note here is that, and this, no one's talking about this, prior to Sam Bankman-Fried being the CEO of FTX, he was the CEO of Tether. Very important. This goes back to our original conversations regarding Bitcoin and Evergrande. So that being said, Tether kind of faded off in the background, and suddenly FTX is doing what I thought Tether would do. So there's a connection there that the story is not completely covering here, but now we're starting to see everything come to roost, the fact that crypto never had any, there's so much counterparty risk there. I mean, it's a cascade of events coming down. You know, I'm a gold and silver guy. I'm a precious metals, honest money guy. I always had questions about crypto. And it was last year that I started with the crypto conspiracy with David Morgan, who introduced me to you. And now we fast forward here, and now we see, we literally are watching the crypto apocalypse. This is the crypto apocalypse, and it's heading down. And what really surprised me, that shocked me more than anything, was the fact that FTX was the second largest donor to the Biden administration, as well as a big donor to the Ukrainian military operation. So now we're looking at some very, very serious topics here involved with Bitcoin and crypto that is taking things to a completely different level here. And I mean, as doom and gloom as I was, I could never have predicted such a catastrophic meltdown that's happening in crypto today right now.
Yeah, I would add, John, that, you know, you and I were talking about stablecoins before, and the Evergrande Ponzi scheme, the property developer Ponzi scheme unraveling in China, which is still ongoing, and a lot of counterparty risk due to that. But one of the things that we need to tell our audience about here is that, you know, you and I always knew that these crypto exchanges that were offering these crazy high earnings that would say, okay, if you stake your coins on our exchange, we'll pay you 10%, 15%, 20%, you know, quote, interest on just leaving your coins here. And, you know, you and I always wondered, well, where's that money coming from? Because that doesn't make any sense, because crypto doesn't actually earn anything itself intrinsically. But it turns out some of those exchanges were taking those deposits by customers, and then they were pushing them somewhere else, like kind of what happened with Alameda Research and FTX, to make, in essence, riskier bets, where they were hoping to make more, you know, 30% returns, 40%. I've heard 50% returns being talked about in this space. And then when those turned against them, for all kinds of reasons, but mostly related to, you know, arrogance and lack of experience in, you know, fiscal matters, right, and not understanding systemic risk, then those collapsed, and then it began to unwind through the entire system, leading to these exchanges right now not having billions of dollars worth of their own customer deposits that have completely vanished. Like, is that an accurate assessment of where we are, you think?
Exactly right. In fact, Friday, I got a direct message from one of the people in our group on Silver's Money. And he says, John, I've got money in BlockFi, and I'm wondering, what do you think is going to happen to my money? And I said, that's a good question. I did one search, and literally 8 hours earlier, BlockFi announced that they're suspending withdrawals. I believe we're going to see suspended withdrawals across the board. But I think there's another thing that's important to know, is that about 3-4 months ago, there was some regulation that came out to where the exchanges were saying that the assets that they have on hold on deposit would be considered their property, their assets. Therefore, if there's any freeze, they're going to be basically claiming your crypto assets as theirs. This now goes even farther because there's a lot of people saying, well, don't keep your money on the exchanges. These exchanges are going to be shut down. And when you go to cash out, you're not going to be able to get out. There's just simply no way out. And now,
John, the thing that's so frustrating about this is that a lot of crypto was overhyped and it was promoted with the idea that this was safer than your fiat currency banks because the banks could have bail-ins, which is exactly what you just described, John. These are crypto bail-ins at the exchanges where your deposits suddenly become their assets as part of the, you know, the bankruptcy proceedings. So, you know, I mean, the dollar-driven banks have not collapsed yet, although the dollar is essentially looting 2% of your purchasing power each and every month. But the crypto collapse happened first, before the dollar collapse in this case.
Well, yeah, and, you know, you can imagine Powell and Yellen are probably just, like, jumping up and down, says, this is great, crypto's collapsing. We look good right now. We're the cleanest, dirty shirt in the room.
Right.
And, you know, oh, look at crypto over there. I expect Yellen to come in and put the regulation hammer down, which I had predicted that they would do it. And in order to clear the way, what I believe is going to be the central bank digital coin or some other coin out there that's being promoted here, we're going to see some interesting things here. Because right now, Yellen now can just come out and say, we are going to come out and protect you, like Maxine Waters did with the Consumer Financial Bureau, and we're going to regulate this. Chances are they're going to clear the way for some sort of central bank digital coin. We're going through the classic Hegelian dialect, problem, reaction, and solution.
Well, I would say they have their regulations ready to pounce because just like with 9/11, they had the expansion of the Patriot Act ready to go. Like, boom, within 2 weeks. Oh, here, sign this while everybody's angry. And then, you know, everybody's willing to give up all their rights and just have surveillance of the American people. So, boom, here we go. Well, right now, this is the perfect storm, again, that was engineered for heavy regulation. You know they have those regulations ready to go. And my question to you, Mr. Perez, is what really is the value of Bitcoin or other cryptos in an environment where they're practically outlawed by heavy regulation by the United States government? You know, what does that mean for the value of these coins?
I think crypto is worth zero until further notice. And one of my predictions earlier is I said that crypto and all the exchanges would all fall under the laws of the FDIC bank laws, and they'd have to show that there's value backing what they have. Well, this either they have nothing or they're going to have to go out and be forced to do what? Back their currency. Well, if they go along the Basel guidelines, they're going to have to go out and buy gold or silver or some equivalent assets and put it back. Highly unlikely here that anybody's going to get much back here. You know, we're looking at during the bail-ins in Spain and Europe and Greece, the investors there, the pensioners, they only got 5% of their money back, and it was stock in the banks. So I think the crypto area here, with the crypto bail-ins happening right now, I don't think investors should expect anything more than 5-10% of what they've got in the market, if they even get that, because it's unregulated, uninsured. At least the bail-ins in these international banks, there was some sort of protection here. Here, it's unregulated. It's just simply unregulated. There's nothing there. There's no net there, and these people are running off, flying around, going everywhere as if it's a free, if it's open season. If this was FDIC bank, these guys would be under arrest and secured already.
The audits that are taking place, at least some of them, are truly a clown show because, and this came out in the last 24 hours, it turns out that a couple of weeks ago, Crypto.com had transferred something like 300,000 ETH coins over to another exchange called Gate.io. And then Gate.io used those coins for a couple of days to prove its deposits. And then Gate.io transferred back most of those coins, you know, back to crypto.com. And this became public just over the weekend. And a lot of users came out and said, whoa, what's going on? Crypto.com officially said, this is their official explanation. They said, whoops, we accidentally transferred $400 million to the wrong address, you know, $400 million worth of ETH. And then a couple of days later, they sent most of it back to us, so it's all good. And everybody's heads are exploding, thinking, wait a second. Number one, that's user deposits. That's like user coins. And you accidentally sent $400 million worth of users' ETH coins to somewhere that you didn't, that was a mistake. That could have been North Korea or something. And then, like, this is the explanation you're just trying to pass off to us. And what it looks like to me, John Perez, is that many different exchanges are sharing the same deposits to try to prove that they have assets just in time for the audits, and then those assets are passed along to somebody else. In other words, it's a freaking clown show, John. It's a clown show that would be highly illegal in the banking industry if somebody tried to pull this kind of clown show there. What do you think?
Well, we've seen this before, Mike. During the housing bubble back in 2004, 2005, 2006, we had liar loans and stated income loans where basically you come in there and say, how much money do you have? I have this much. Well, this looks familiar. This looks like the end of the financial bubble in real estate, where it's like, how much money do you have in your bank to show that you have any valuation? Well, let me call my friend. Will you deposit some crypto in my account? Put it in there, and all of a sudden, I've got this asset here. They're done with their paperwork. The asset moves to somewhere else. I mean, these guys are playing musical chairs on the Titanic with money in each person's account. And this, they did the same thing in real estate. People would borrow money from someone else, get qualified for the loan. As soon as the money came in, poof, the money would vanish and go to the next person. And there were operations doing this consistently. And it appears to me like the crypto community has basically adopted what happened in the housing debacle here. And in an area that's unregulated, which is just, there's just simply going to be no recourse, no feedback coming in. But I'll tell you what, the American people and people around the world, they're going to have to demand. They're going to demand payback. And with the way the banking system, the Wall Street, everything is looking right now, they literally have the perfect scapegoat to pawn
John Perez, just hold on there. Sorry to interrupt. We're going to take a short break here, but we're going to be back with John Perez on the other side of this. I'm Mike Adams. This is the second hour of the Sunday night broadcast here on Infowars.com and Band.video. We'll be right back after these short messages. All right, Mike Adams here, continuing with our guest, John Perez. And we're talking, of course, about what I'm calling the 9/11 of the crypto space, the controlled demolition of the Sam Bankman fraud crypto exchange in order to try to discredit the entire industry and bring in heavy, heavy government regulation. Now, I want to start out this segment before we bring our guests back to give some credit to those who I think have achieved a lot of positive things in this space and those who may survive all of this fallout that's taking place. And just as a disclaimer, I should tell you, I don't currently own any Bitcoin whatsoever, and actually no other coins either. I mean, I might have a couple of like $10 sitting around somewhere that I forgot to move. I have a few wallets at different places and nothing in them just because I've never been a crypto speculator. But I did always make sure that I knew how to use it, and I've used Monero, and I've used Bitcoin and so on. We used to accept Bitcoin as well while that tool existed. So that's just a disclaimer, okay? So nobody is paying me, no one's sponsoring me, because I'm going to say some nice things about some of the companies that are out there. And I think, for example, I think Ripple and XRP, I think they've solved a lot of transactional problems. And I think that Ripple could play a major role in the rebirth of a decentralized global transactional clearinghouse system. And it could be backed by something real. Eventually it could be backed by gold or commodities. And so I think that, the dollar is going to collapse, in my opinion, at some point. A lot of players in the crypto space are going to collapse. But there are some real gems to be found that are contenders, I think, for long-term solutions for humanity. Because if we could have an honest money system that's not the central banks and not the dollar and not something that's just losing value month after month, then frankly, billions of human beings could become quite wealthy just by being able to keep what they earn. What a concept. And coins like, XRP or the Ripple company could have a major role to play in that. I also think that Ethereum is run by some very, very smart people. And of course, there's smart contracts, and they've moved over to a proof of stake consensus system for their blockchain decision making and so on. I think that's very smart. It's very forward looking. I think that Ethereum also has a strong future in one way or another, even though it's going to get hit by all the regulations that are coming down. In terms of crypto exchanges, and I know this is controversial, but who cares? I'm going to say it anyway. I think that CZ, the CEO of Binance, and his Chinese name is what, Changpeng Zhao, I think he's the adult in the room. I think that he's definitely one of the smartest guys in the room. And did he bring down Sam Bankman fraud? Yeah, probably, with just a couple of tweets. Is he now potentially bringing down or trying to bring down, maybe trying to cause a bank run on crypto.com? Possibly so. But CZ is not a lightweight. And if anybody's going to survive this, I would put my money on Binance. I don't even have a Binance account, but, and I'm not encouraging you to put money in Binance. I'm just saying that if I were a betting person on this, I would think that Binance is going to be the last folks standing, or among the very last standing, as a lot of the others get kind of burned out of this system. So I just want to give credit where credit is due. There's a lot of good people in the crypto space, but there were also a lot of fraudsters, a lot of people that got really, really greedy, a lot of bad faith in the system as well. And then that created vulnerabilities that we're now seeing causing the whole system to come tumbling down, or at least parts of it. So that's my summary. Now, John Perez joins us. Welcome back, John. Were you able to catch any of that there that I mentioned?
Yeah, I agree with you 100% regarding Binance and CZ. I mean, they are the elephant in the room. And without a doubt, they are the powerhouse. They are the world's largest exchange. And they're world's largest. They've got a lot of support from a lot of government entities. And I agree with you. They definitely lit the light off. I mean, the minute they said no DICE on FTX, that pretty much kind of set the tone here that, I mean, this was very similar to what Binance and FTX is. It's pretty similar to what Elon and Twitter was. You've got just major powerhouses going out of here, which is a distraction from many other things. But I agree with you there with Binance being the big boy in the room.
I think it's also interesting that, you know, Binance and CZ there, he wants to work with Elon Musk at Twitter, and he's not afraid of the fact that Twitter is sort of leaning towards becoming obviously more accepting of conservative speech, or, you know, pro-America, pro-liberty speech. And CZ, even though he is a Chinese-Canadian, you know, in terms of his ethnicity and nationality, he has publicly stated that he believes that the freedom of money can only be fully expressed through the freedom of speech. In other words, you know, you can't have freedom of transactions, you can't have a libertarian approach to money unless you are also free to speak. And I find that incredibly interesting coming from somebody who was born in communist China, but obviously is no longer, you know, beholden to all of those rules. Now, I don't claim to back up everything that CZ has ever said, and I know opinions vary widely, but in my opinion, somebody who's willing to work with Elon Musk right now and perhaps become a transactional overlay onto the Twitter platform, where a lot of conservative speech is going to be hosted, and hey, maybe one day Twitter will let me back on too, you never know. Then in my book, I think that these guys deserve a lot of credit for being willing to do that. And I can tell you from reading up on, you know, the philosophy of Binance, they would never pull the shenanigans that Sam Bankman just pulled off. You know, Binance is not going to take user funds and just go toss them to their college buddies somewhere and say, here, play with this and try not to lose it. Like, I don't think that's going to happen with CZ. That's my opinion. But what's your take on it?
I agree with you there. I mean, CZ's got a background. I think prior to this, I think he worked with Google, but he's been around for a long time. And he's working in many nations. And he's operating at a level here where CZ's, you've got the adult in the room. The FTX, basically, you had what almost appears to be a participation economy model, where it's like, if you just jump in, you're going to be a billionaire. But there's nothing backing it. And then when CZ basically said no DICE to FTX, FTX didn't collapse because of CZ. FTX was collapsed before CZ showed up. I think CZ just basically shed the light on, you know, basically a Ponzi scheme. You know, people just finally looked at it because once CZ said no, people asked the questions. But many of us in the community here, especially in the silver gold community, who are researching this stuff, I mean, I talked about Sam Bankman Fried back in November and December of 2021, and early the first quarter of 2022, I said, how is this guy able to be a billionaire when there's nothing backing this stuff? And of course, everyone says, oh, you know, crypto is the future. You know, get rid of gold, get rid of silver here. This is the future. We're all going to do this. And Here they, you know, they use Tom Brady to pump up crypto, Tom Brady to promote FTX. These promoters are going to have big problems here. And I believe it was Jordan Belfort did a video. He talked about the different laws of the DOJ. I think that there's going to be big problems and follow-up. And there are new clawback laws that have been issued, too. I think there's going to be big problems with the promoters out there, all the YouTubers. And also one other piece here that no one's talked about. I talked about this in January, February. The U.S. military is monitoring and following all these Bitcoin and crypto people. They've been trained to do this. And to go one step farther, in my original conversation with you, I said I believe that there was a sting operation going on and that they were observing this. So I think there's more to come here. There's more shoes to drop, and there's some big hammers coming here. And I don't think people are going to be able to look. This guy's went online and were promoting this stuff, made millions of dollars on YouTube, and now they're just going to walk away in an unregulated environment. I don't think people are going to get away, because the people that were promoting and made millions, they're not part of the George Carlin big club. In other words, these guys are perfect fall guys. Kids, like Bank Friedman, just a child. Look to his parents. Now you look at all these people on YouTube who are these, they're not, their pedigree is not Wall Street politically connected. So I think we're going to see the system go after fall guys, and they're going to be looking for heads to roll. Because when they come after these people, we're going to say, well, we got the bad guys over here. And of course, Wall Street, you know, they didn't roll the markets over with a big multi-billion dollar, you know, crypto catastrophe here. So,
yeah. John, I want to give you credit too. And also just kind of a message to those watching who are on the younger side. I mean, I'm in my 50s and I don't know how old you are, John, but your chronological age is higher than you look because you're really healthy and fit. But we've been around long enough to have lived through crashes, right? And that's how you gain wisdom. Yeah. And one of the things, you know, we got to be honest, one of the things that was really annoying about the whole crypto hype was a lot of these really young people, you know, often in their 20s, saying, oh, you old guys don't know anything. Gold and silver is over. You got to jump on this bandwagon, because they thought they were all going to be billionaires and never have to work like an honest job in their lives because they were just going to make money off crypto forever. And, you know, you and I never bought into that, nor did Alex Jones or anybody who's, you know, who's old enough to have seen the dot-com crash or the subprime mortgage collapse or other shenanigans that went on. So, you know, wisdom, folks, it counts, and wisdom is earned the hard way. And right now, there's a lot of people paying a very high price for wisdom, because they just got, you know, tanked, and now they're learning the hard way. But go ahead.
Yeah, you know, well, I'm 61, and I remember being a child. I mean, I remember being 6, 7 years old and being taken by the hand to go look at real estate. I've been through all the bubbles, the 87 bubble. You know, I got into gold and silver professionally in 2005, 2006. I've managed tens of millions of dollars in silver mining stocks. I've made people millionaires. And I'll tell you this, it's hard work. It's hard work. Unfortunately, I'm very sympathetic to kids that kind of grew up in the millennial age that were given participation awards to show up and win. I'm a firm believer in working hard, winning, working on competing to win. I want everyone to be successful. It's like this. I want everyone, millennials, everyone to be successful. But you're going to have to work hard. You're going to have to work harder and smarter than everyone else. I'll never forget a comment that Rush Limbaugh made. I think it was 1990, 1991. He said, if you're not going to go to school, then self-educate yourself and prepare to compete against people with PhDs who have degrees in this sector here. That means you're going to have to work your butt off. You're going to have to use your brains. You know, and there's nothing wrong with hard work. You got to work hard, and then you got to work smarter. You got to do them both. And unfortunately, the crypto situation turned into a participation event where if you just showed up and hodled, you got rich. But you know, it's like if you're going to be an endurance athlete, a successful endurance athlete, you got to put the miles in. You got to put the time in. And of course, there was people I knew. So, well, you know, John gold and silver suck. You know, you got to be in crypto. And I said, no, there's nothing there. You know, and Trump said it very well. Trump said, in a tweet, he tweeted out, he said, Bitcoin is made out of thin air. It's not money. Silver has been money throughout all of human history, and silver is the most undervalued asset in the world. Now, that's a president saying that. And now, all of a sudden, here we are. Now the thin air is coming out the past. And, you know, crypto refugees, millennials, yeah, welcome to reality here. This is great. We've all had our, I mean, I know in the money business, I've had my ass handed up to me. You know, you win, you lose, you win, you lose, but you keep with it, you don't quit, you're going to win in the long run. So my suggestion to all the people that suffer or hurt in this, don't let it stop you from continuing your pursuit for winning and being successful in the business world and the financial world. Consider this a PhD in experience, in loss and failure. But remember, the desire was there. Because I think I've talked to so many millennials who are just dismayed about the situation. I'm like, dude, you can't stop, man. You got to keep going. And we all been through this. We went through the silver psyop, the silver crash, and you keep going. You keep plowing on. You just got to keep going here. So my message to anyone who suffers through this is to not to get bitter, not to go through the, you know, not tighten up, close up. But that's what happens here in the money world. Been in the money game for a long time. My encouragement is keep going. Keep going. Even if it looks like you come out a little bit, you got to keep going here.
And I would say that the people who are the most successful over their lifetimes in terms of accumulating wealth are almost, in every case, people who have lost almost everything they had at one time or another, and they learned some really hard lessons that way, and then they gained it back. And I would encourage people to bring up the table of elements. In fact, to the producers, if you could pop in just a graphic of the table of elements, I want to point out something to you here. Gold and silver, you know, AU and AG are present on the table of elements, and just notice that the table of elements does not have any crypto coins on it. That's because these are elements of matter from which the universe is made, at least the 3D universe as we know it. So gold and silver on the table of elements, and what it means is that they are immutable, so you can't transform gold into something else. You can't break it down. You can't melt it in your toaster. You can't microwave it away. It doesn't burn up in a house fire, and so on and so forth, right? So gold and silver, right? AU and AG. Now, what I want to point out right above that in the same column on the table of elements is copper, CU. Copper is a commodity that is in very high demand around the world right now. It is very valuable. And the reason I bring it up is because the future money system that looks like it's being formed by the BRICS plus nations, which includes China and Russia, and, you know, eventually it's going to be the Saudis and Turkey and Iran and everybody else. I mean, eventually the U.S. will have to join it too, but it's going to be based on a portfolio of things from this table of elements, by the way. It's going to be gold and silver and copper. It'll probably be aluminum. There might be some oil in there, you know, hydrocarbons, but that's just based on H and C, which are elements right here in the table of elements. H is number one, and there's carbon right there. So, folks, I would say if you are disheartened by losses in FTX and crypto, start studying the table of elements, because I guarantee you this is the future of wealth on our planet, are the elements that make up commodities and hydrocarbons and precious metals. The table of elements is your key. Right back to you, John.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. For the fourth quarter of 2022, and I'm going to say all of 2023, exploration mining stocks, gold and silver mining stocks will be the crypto for 2023. So people are going to see this. They'll learn it with time. You'll figure it out here. As JP Morgan said, gold is money. Everything else is just credit. Very important piece to hear. There's so much history here with gold and silver. There's no history behind crypto. The idea was great. I mean, the idea is great, but the problem is it's like everything else. If the FDIC came into the crypto space and without this crash, they said, look, you need to show that this asset has something to back it if we're going to be getting into you want to be accepted in the institutional banking world. You know, what are you going to be backing your project with? But in the future here, in 2023, exploration, mining stocks, penny stocks, and the gold, silver, that is going to be the new crypto. It's going to happen. Bitcoin's going to go to 4200. We got bigger problems ahead, but gold and silver are money. I mean, that's all there is to it. And it's proving that right now. The argument against gold and silver and precious metals was that crypto was the future. Now that things are turning over, gold and silver will be in the limelight. I expect a big move here. I expect people to finally come to the senses and realize we got to go back to work. Stocks are stocks overpriced. Housing off the cliff. Auto loan bubble. Treasuries, no way, no interest. Very few places to go. And we're at that point now where I believe that the crypto space is going to trigger more and more and more dominoes. It's going to hit the banking industry here, and eventually this stock market and the bank is going to roll over, and there's still going to be no place to go except where the BRICS, like you said, where are the BRICS going? They're going to gold. There's gold-backed ruble. The number one performing currency in 2022 is the gold-backed ruble. I believe we're going to see a Chinese-backed yuan, a gold-backed yuan here pretty soon. We got the BRICS coming in. We're going to see gold, oil, everything that's real, commodities, things that you can touch and feel are coming to the forefront. And the idea of electronic digital assets in the future, the only way that's going to fly is if it's shoved down our throats. And even then, even if they came up with anything digital, the first question is it respect your privacy? Can they expire the money? Can they control it? And we know they want to control us. They want to control people while you eat. How many hamburgers did you eat? How many miles you drove? So that whole thing with the digital space here, I think this is a big reality check here for everyone.
Yeah, the central bank digital currency effort is going to try to get us to sign up into a system of digital dollars that's also backed by nothing. And, you know, who's going to trust that system after the collapse of the dollar, by the way? I mean, if you thought the FTX collapse was a big deal, wait until the dollar collapses and all those, you know, 99 out of 100 Americans who don't even own any crypto, wait till they figure out they can't buy groceries and their ATMs don't work and their dollars are worthless. I mean, you talk about a panic, you know, like that day is coming. But the future system will have to include energy as one of the backers of some kind of currency, I believe. I think energy is going to be part of the portfolio of commodities that go into a global currency system. And if anything, right now, we are discovering the value of energy as Europe is facing an energy crisis this winter, where many people are going to starve to death or freeze to death. And the Nord Stream pipelines have been destroyed, likely by the U.S. and the U.K. And, you know, we're not getting energy exports out of Russia. Even the diesel shortage in America right now is due to a lack of Russian oil that's usually brought into refineries in the Gulf Coast region that would refine it into diesel. So now we're running out of diesel. And, you know, how's America going to work without energy or at least energy scarcity? And the answer is it's not. So, like, you know, you can't buy food by printing money. You can't create energy by mining Bitcoin, by the way. Like, neither one of those actually give you what you need to live and feed yourself. Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, you touched on a great point here. We've got propane Armageddon coming. We've got diesel Armageddon coming. A lot of people don't know that we're in the mini ice age, the grand solar minimum. The energy that I think Canada two days ago, Canada recorded 50 of its lowest all-time record temperatures. This means everyone's turning on the spigot, sucking up the natural gas. Biden has shut down the Keystone, has shipped all our liquid natural gas and propane off to Europe here. We are in big trouble here in America here. And I predict here, I'm predicting 150 barrel oil, then 220 barrel oil. And JP Morgan has predicted $380 per barrel oil here. If OPEC cuts back 5 million barrels and there's a conflict in the Persian Gulf with Israel attacking Iran. So we got a lot of stuff here. It's like there are guillotines and knives and swords hanging everywhere that can hit. But I believe they're all going to happen here. We're definitely going into oil shock. But it's also energy suicide. This Russian oil cap is going to take people down. We have so many problems here. When these problems can come while the crypto apocalypse is literally going off the cliff, we're going to be hit with these other things. Crypto is going to be moved to the sidelines. That money is going to be gone. And then our U.S. banking system, the dollar collapse going down, the famines, that's going to hit. And people have to get ready for that right now, Mike. You've been all over this. You've done a great job covering this here. And people need to be alert. Whatever you thought was going to be the worst case scenario for wintertime, it's going to be worse here. The temperature is going to drop. By Thanksgiving, I expect firewood to be 200 to 300% higher. But between Thanksgiving and New Year's Day, firewood is going to be sold out, if not double, tripled in price. If we go to 150 oil, which I know we're going to go there, then we're going to go higher. City budgets, city planners, county planners, if they did not set aside fuel and hedge themselves, they will not be able to run their snow plows. They're going to not be able to move police officers, first responders. We got big problems here, and it's going to come on the follow-up of the Russian oil cap policy being put together by Janet Yellen, who's good. Number one, she's going to regulate crypto right out of the atmosphere. And then she's going to come in there, put the Russian oil cap. And that's when we're going to see what I call energy suicide, a policy designed to basically destroy the average person economically and financially. And then they're going to come in and say, we'll rescue with our CBDC. They're going to come with this. It's not good here, but this propane Armageddon, diesel Armageddon, it's bigger than it looks, and people need to take action right away. They really do need to take action.
All right, John, last question for you today in our final couple of minutes here. Because you're following people on, you know, you have a lot of participation on your Telegram channel. What is it? Silver is money. Is that your channel?
Yeah, silver
is money. Okay.
Silver is money, and silver is money news.
How has this collapse of FTX changed the tone of the discussions about silver and gold? By the way, we only have a minute left. Go for it.
You know, this I made all these predictions. I was very clear, very accurate on this here, and my people knew we were ready. We're ready for the propane Armageddon. We're ready for the ice age. And everyone right now is getting a confirmation now that this dude went out on a limb. I made predictions. They were crazy. People were triggered. They were angry. Came true. Now it's pretty much kind of, you know, it's spiking the football in the end zone. It's like, now the spotlight is coming on gold and silver. We are going to make it here. We're going to make it big. We prepared. We invested. We're ready for this market here. We are absolutely ready for whether it's a collapse of the dollar, collapse in stocks, increase in nat gas. We've got a natural gas strategy in place, mining stocks.
All right, we'll have to wrap it up there, John. Sorry to interrupt, but we got to close out the show. Folks, that was John Perez. Silver is money. That's his handle on Telegram. Be sure to join him there. And I hope you found this educational, informative. That's our goal, is to just bring you good information so you can make better decisions. I'm Mike Adams. Thank you for joining us tonight here on Infowars.com, the Sunday night edition. Everybody have a blessed evening. God bless you. Take care.